Hi, Sandra. Maybe it's practical to add something, a recipe on how to listen to these stories. And essentially, it's the same way children listen to fairy tales. They just take it in. They don't have an opinion about it. They don't criticize it. They don't compare it to anything else. The only thing that they compare the story to is to the story itself. They asked for the story to be retold. Of course, over the centuries and over the millennia, people have been telling stories again and again. And some of these stories are, say, a pattern in themselves. And they unfold in themselves. And all of the stories are, of course, composed of words. And words have no meaning. They just evoke thoughts in our mind. And children listen to those stories without any thoughts in our mind. They still learn to talk. They still have the language connected processes taking place. So they still have to define within themselves, discover within themselves what words do and how words connect up. So in listening to words and stories, children learn to associate ideas and in a way develop a kind of muscle. Words as a kind of instrument, fork, knife, spoon, cup, plate, to work with ideas and ideals. So in listening to these stories, it is easiest to just let the story come by, listen to it without thinking, best in a kind of half trance while knitting or juggling a ball or something, and that the mind is open, not preoccupied with anything, that the mind is not comparing it to anything, because all of these stories about the discovery of the unknown, all of these stories are at the interface of what we know and what we don't know. And like fairy tales, all of these stories try to illustrate something which is fundamental in our understanding, which is nevertheless beyond our understanding. In the same way that the fairy tale stories about dragons and kings are about how we use our mind. The king is the pineal gland, the advisors is the hypophysis, the castle is the organ level of the body, and the landscape is the body as a whole. The dragon is how we can use our nervous energy, and when the dragon needs to take the maidens and take the gold, it is an indicator that the king is no longer taking care of the maidens and taking care of the gold. So in the fairy tale stories there are deeper levels of meaning which the children do not understand. They just hear about the king and the princess, and they don't know that the king and the queen, the prince and the princess, are the four elements of alchemy. They don't need to know, because it is at that deeper level where words still have to get meaning, and at the deepest levels where words need to transcend meaning, that the stories take place. So the basically only way to listen to these stories is by listening as if it is a fairy tale. And maybe in listening to it again, something else happens, because always it is not about the stories, it is not about the words that are being presented, it is not about the sentences that are being strung, it is not about whether the juggler is using candles or apples or balls or something else, it is about the it is in part about the elliptic orbit by which the apples of the jugglers are thrown and fall back. So there is something in the way that we speech that ideas will be picked up and come down again. But most important is that the juggler shows that there is an ability to tune the rhythm of the hands to the rhythm of the gravity and the apples. And so in these stories too, the words are just colors of paint on the canvas or cuts in the wood to bring out a sculpture. And it is not about the words and not about the cuts and not about the colors, but it's about the image that arises. But the image doesn't come from the words. The image comes from what the mind does with the words. And when we listen to words, or when a musician looks at a score of music, or when a mathematician looks at equations of on paper, it is just a help to evoke specific patterns, a kind of dance of ideas in our brain, in our body. And it is not about the truth of the dance or the reality of the ideas. Those are just instruments, like a massage from outside, to help the body muscles and the body organs to refine a rhythm on the inside. So whatever anybody says, whatever anybody tells, that's just outside wind in motion. The movement, like music, will have an effect on the sensory system, which will be interpreted from the samsara of the sensory impressions to the maya of the interpreted meaning. But that's just meaning from the outside. What all of these stories are about is like a massage, that it is possible to exercise muscles or ideas in a specific way, as a result of which a new kind of coherence is experienced. Just like the balls juggling, you can see that there's a rhythm to it, that there's some connectedness at a deeper level. In the juggling, you can only see that the connectedness is there in the way that the ball is caught, held, moved, released, are the four elements of the I-God principle. That's the only thing that cells do. They capture something, they store it, they transform it, they release it. And in stories we do that too. And all of these stories are about one principle, that all is connected. And so the best way to listen to these stories is just to be in a way disconnected, because as long as you hold on to something, there's no place within your mind to feel the elasticity of what is possible via these ideas. It's the same as somebody who is in a cramp. It doesn't much matter how you massage it. And if people have a bone of belief, it doesn't much matter if you massage a bone. It just becomes painful. The thing about a massage is that you help the muscles find a rhythm, and specifically you help the muscles find how their rhythm connects to the rhythms of the organs, and then you discover that the rhythms of the organs connect to the rhythms of the feelings and emotions, and also to the rhythms of consciousness. So the stories are just a means, a massage, to exercise a kind of relaxation and attention, so that at the level of consciousness something else can emerge. And all of the stories have basically one purpose, that if you let go of your beliefs, if you relax your convictions, then suddenly you discover that there are all kinds of decisions yet that you can take differently, and that at the basis of it all, you have an immense amount of freedom of choice. So these stories are an experience to exercise your freedom of choice in this way, to allow me the freedom of choice to tell the story in my manner. I cannot tell it differently. I don't have other words in this culture. This culture doesn't have the concepts that we're really talking about. So I need to use allegories and metaphors and examples, and I need to pull a couple of them together before the connection can actually become visible. So yes, you do need a bit of an attention span, because just one word doesn't catch it, because the word is never the thing. One sentence doesn't define it, because the sentence is never a judgment. And one phrase is not encompassing for the, cannot hold the wholeness of the thoughts. So it's like weaving a basket when I tell these stories. that I have to show how the different strands of the stories weave together. But still, I can only pronounce them a word at a time. I can only speak of it a sentence at a time. I can then tell the stories, weave it into a tapestry where things connect and reconnect and interconnect. But the whole purpose of it is that it is merely a basket in which you, the listener, can find a space to have a freedom of thought to think about things differently. In that way, the words, the sentences, and the concepts, and the story as a whole is exactly what we do when the sensory cell relays into the neuron, goes into the neural plexus, goes into the brain. It's from a point to a line, to a plane, to a volume. It is a translation from one dimension to another, to another, to another, because the reality that we're addressing is not the physical reality that we see, that we look at. We need to look at it in a different way, so we also need to listen to it in a different way. So that's why I'm also very grateful to you, Sandra, to which I told these first stories first, that it's by the openness which you give that you actually, your mind is available to give space for these ideas without inhibition. And I discovered this a long, long time ago when I was explaining something to a woman I had met, and I suddenly discovered that my thoughts went much higher speed than I normally did. And her partner told me that, yes, this is what she does. She goes as into active listening mode. She, in a way, synchronizes her brain to yours, as a result of which you suddenly have two brains working for you. It's like mono loudspeaker going stereo. Suddenly all of these thoughts between the thoughts can unfold too. So thank you, Sandra, for offering that possibility of giving the space between the spaces, so that the thoughts between the thoughts can come to view too. And for the listener, that's also, you can only have the thoughts between the thoughts when you take the story in as it is, you taste it with the tongue, and you swallow it as you would take down a mother's milk or a beverage, and then you will discover afterwards that within you the story will have showed how the juggling of the words takes place, and that it is not about what was being said and not even about how it is being said. It is not a linguistic technique, it's not a hypnotic technique, but it is simply the expression of the process of thinking in words. And once you can take that in, then within you, your thoughts will give your answer to your understanding connected to your knowledge. Because by giving me the opening to tell the story as I can only tell it, then within you, you create a space for your thoughts to redefine themselves as well. And that is essentially the whole purpose of these stories, that they are catalysts to give you enough openness to hold your attention long enough without a specific focus, without you holding the focus, but surrendering your focus. The art of surrender, or the art of openness, the art of trust, is also the building of the muscle of self-trust. Because to the extent that you can trust another, you can also learn to trust yourself, and the other way around. So then within you, you'll find that your ideas will present themselves to you without the constraints that you normally have, without the convictions that you might have imposed on them. And as a result, you can let go of some of the decisions that you thought you needed to take at some point, but that you can experience that you could also take other decisions. You can also think about it differently. You can also hold another opinion. And it doesn't much matter what opinion you hold, because the situation that you're in will always let you know what kind of thinking, what kind of conviction, what kind of belief is best. And that's not always the one that you held, but that could be the one that you could hold. And that is what these stories are all about, that it is possible to think about things differently. And once you do that, you come to different conclusions. You can make different connections. You can see how more and more connects. And that it is not about the forms of what we think, but about the capacity to think. And that we can think in one language, but also another. We can think within the context of one culture, but also with another. Because we have the capacity to be free, to be in any culture, and to that's the capacity of intelligence to redefine or reformulate, to re-express what we know in such a way that it fits a different environment. And one of the easiest experiences of the different environment is the storytelling to children and the way children listen to a story. So what I present here is an invitation to listen to a story. And then at some point you'll discover within you what it does for you. It's not about the words I use, not about the connections that I make in the sentences, not about the theme of the story, but it's about something much deeper, about how ideas can transform themselves and how ideas can reshape themselves and show themselves in a different way, and as a result show a different understanding. And that's the whole purpose, and basically the only purpose of these stories. So the more you can listen in openness, the more it can open your realization from within you.